want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the podcast today. I want to go ahead and open up with prayer. Father, I just pray that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon President Trump, Vice President Vance, upon all the members of the House of Representatives, the Congress, all the courts of this land, the judges, all the police officers, all the military officers. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon all the kings and the presidents throughout the rest of the earth. I thank you, Father, that you lead and guide all the authorities of the lands of the earth to do your will. I thank you, Father, that you govern the nations upon the face of the earth, and Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand, at your right hand, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. All right, let's get started. You know, I was watching Glenn Beck earlier this week, and he was talking about this new Grok 4, which is the new AI, and how it would be smarter than a person with a PhD in all subjects. And he was talking about how Elon Musk, while he was describing Grok 4, he said at one point, he said it several times, that it was terrifying. And I'm assuming he's talking about having, you know, something created that's smarter than all of us. And, you know, I immediately thought about the Tower of Babel. Let's look at that. Genesis 11:1. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. Go down to verse 4. And they said, go to, this is these people. They said, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, let us go down, that's the Godhead, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence the face of all the earth. So they left off to build the city. So all the people of the earth were one language at one time. And anything they imagined to do, they could do. So God said, I'm going to rein these people in. And God went down in a moment of time and changed their languages. God took out of their mind. I want you to just consider this. The power of Almighty God. He took out of their mind and their tongue, their native language, and put in another language in a moment of time. That's creative power. You know, and think about this. When the Lord comes to get his people in the rapture, he's in a moment of time, we're going to be changed from mortal to immortal. And all the dead in Christ and all the graveyards all over the world are going to be raised up out of those graves. They're going to be raised from the dead. And millions, maybe billions of people would be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. You talk about power. Look at Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Isaiah 40:28, New Living Translation. Have you ever heard? Have you never understood? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth, he never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. So, are you impressed with AI? Well, I'm impressed with the I Am, the great I Am, God Almighty. And you know, for those of you out there, those people that say, well, I don't believe the Bible because we know there is proof of prehistoric dinosaurs that roamed the earth millions of years ago, and Adam and Eve were created about 6,000 years ago. Well, absolutely. But what you don't know is there is a creation of people written about in Jeremiah 4 that God destroyed. And at the end, it says the earth was without form and void. And that's where it starts in Genesis 1. So there were a creation of people before Adam and Eve. And we don't know when the first man and woman were created or when these people were created before Adam and Eve. And we don't know how old the earth is according to the scriptures. You mean the Bible's not in chronological order? Nope. You know, I'll share a testimony with you about the power of God in my own life. I was commanding this spirit to come out of me years ago. And I kept praying and commanding the spirit to come out of me, and nothing happened. And so I went to bed. That night, power of God came on me while I was sleeping, and it grabbed my body. It wasn't hands grabbed me, but power. And it didn't hurt me at all. And it took my body and it stretched it out. And I felt a spirit come out of me. It was tremendous. And so I've experienced the miracle working power of God. And I've also experienced the Spirit of the Lord resting upon me and working in me, and the power of God working in me, other than many other times. I've also experienced the powers of the devil resisting me for many, many years. Okay? Now, I want to exhort or encourage every person out there listening, because, you know, I've got, this is my desire, and that is to obey God and to make Christians. And, you know, the Word of God says exhort one another daily. So that's what I want to do. Turn to Hebrews 3:13, New Living Translation. You must warn, this means to exhort, each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. You know, sin in us can harden your hearts and deceive us. Never forget that. So, and if you have a time that you don't have anyone around you to encourage you, take the Word of God out and encourage yourself. But look at this, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Okay, has God ever done anything in your life? Have you received the Lord? He's begun a work in you. And let me tell you this, the more God changes, the more you will walk in one accord with God and get to where you enjoy your relationship with him. And in the meantime, the devil's going to be attacking you, trying to ruin your relationship with God, but don't let him. It's all for your good. It's all for your perfection. Now, the work God is doing in us is to make a new creature out of us. That's putting to death all the sinful characteristics, traits, and sinful ways in us, which is the old man, and bringing forth the divine nature, or causing the divine nature to grow up in our hearts. Let's look at that. Ephesians 2:10, Amplified Bible. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. And you know, that's right after Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. See, this is what salvation does. It makes a new creature out of you. And salvation is an ongoing process. So, those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ, God has begun a good work in your heart and in my heart. And that work is recreating us, making a new creature out of us. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now, every minister I've heard for the last 40 years and over that, everyone I've ever heard speak on this scripture say this happened when you first received the Lord. But that doesn't line up with the rest of the scriptures. And I've never met a person after he received the Lord that didn't have any bad things still in them. It didn't all pass away. I've never met one of them that received the Lord and they were perfect or already complete or already went on to perfection. And I've never met one after they received the Lord were totally transformed right after they received the Lord. So what these ministers are saying is, well, you receive the Lord, you got a whole new heart, your problem is your sinful flesh. That's what they say. But that didn't line up with scripture either. The problem is sin in the flesh, which is the old man, not the flesh. God didn't create man with sinful flesh. God created man, and he said we were good. Then through the fall of man, when man committed an act of sin by transgressing the word of God, sin entered into man. All right? And, you know, I read this many years ago in Vine's Expository Dictionary. There's two definitions for the word sin in the Greek. One is a verb and the other is a noun. You know, of course, we know a verb is an act. So that sin is an act of sin. The other is a noun, and that the definition of that word is an inward element that produces acts. And that's exactly what Romans says in Romans 7. Look at Romans 7:20. Now, if I do that, what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He's saying sin in me is causing me to commit this act of sin. And that's what the Vine's Expository Dictionary was saying about that. So, when you get a hold of that, you'll begin to understand the fall and what entered into man and what makes man's flesh the way it is. See, this is good news, folks, because if we just had sinful flesh that we could never do anything with, we'd spend the rest of our lives trying to fight our sinful flesh. But no, it's sin in the flesh. And that is the old man. And that was crucified on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you received that through water baptism, and you can get rid of it. Look at Romans 5:12. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world. That's that noun. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, verb. It doesn't say sinful flesh passed upon men. It says sin passed upon all men. Look at Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Where is it? In the flesh. Okay? So the minister is saying you have a whole new heart when you receive the Lord. Your problem is your sinful flesh. These ministers don't know the problem is sin in the flesh. And they don't know what, they don't know it's the old man. And the old man is your old heart, and they don't know what to do about it because they think your heart has already changed. Let's read that, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Now, this is describing a person God has brought onto perfection. When every bad thing about you passes away and everything about you becomes new, you've been brought onto perfection. And these ministers say this happened when you receive the Lord, when you first receive the Lord. Well, if it did, we wouldn't have no problem with sin. Let's read Philippians 1:6 again. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So we see the work God started in us, he will finish it. And this, you know, this scripture is directed at the Jews in Galatia who wanted to go back under the law of Moses. They'd received Jesus Christ, and that's how God had begun a good work in them by his Spirit, and God was going to take them onto perfection by his Spirit. And it says, trying to live by the law, you're trying to perfect yourself by your own flesh. See, we know here the good work was to take us on to perfection, to make us a new creature in Christ. And what God is saying to all these people, are you going to be made perfect by your own flesh? Are you going to reform your own heart? Are you going to reach inside of yourself and take out the sin in you? That'd be great if we could, but we can't. Are we going to reproduce the divine nature? Of course not. That would be foolish to think that we could do that. That's why God was saying, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You shouldn't believe the gospel. You've begun in the Spirit by believing the gospel. Are you going to go back under the law and try to perfect yourself in the flesh? Now, I'm going to share with you something that will really help you if you'll get a hold of this. We are transformed as we're brought to repentance. And as we're brought to repentance, we'll have faith towards God. Acts 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:1, and this is the foundation. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go into perfection. And we saw there in Galatians, it's by the Spirit. God takes us on by the Spirit as we believe the gospel, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. See, now God, let me tell you this, God does not use guilt to bring a person to repentance. I have heard preachers all my life trying to guilt people to repentance. Look at Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there's no shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And that's the purpose of the law, to give you the knowledge of sin. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not a law are law in themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Did you see that? The law is written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness in the thoughts of mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So we see here God wrote the law of Moses in the hearts of Gentiles, and it gives us the knowledge of sin. We saw that in Romans 3:20. And this is why universally everyone knows lying, stealing, committing murder, and other sins are wrong. They have the knowledge of it in their heart. Okay? So the purpose of the law is to give us the knowledge of sin, make us guilty, then it leads us to Christ. After we come to the Lord, we are no longer under the law. Now, you're still going to have to escape its hold on you. That's why you still experience guilt. Now, turn to Romans 7:6, International Standard Version. But now, we've been released from the law by dying to what enslaved us, so we may serve in the new life of the Spirit, not in the old right. This dying to what enslaved us is dying to the old man. See, you find that in the 6th chapter. You go to the 7th chapter and it starts telling you how to get out from the law. See, God will walk you right out of this. He'll walk you out of this. You believe the old man was crucified, you start to mix of faith with that. That old man starts passing away. You keep reckoning him dead. You keep putting him off. Keep obeying the word of God. He will pass away. As he passes away, then you can begin to come out from underneath the law. Okay? See? You know, people say, Scott, you're always talking about putting to death the old man. Yes, that is the key to getting out from underneath the law and escaping the hold of evil spirits have on us. I just read that about the law. No, we'll get into about getting out from, the law. We'll get into about getting out from underneath these spirits. But let's go ahead and take a break and we'll hear a song. Let's pray. Play He Is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia. And I think this next week, Pam will be going back to the studio to sing In the Shadow of His Wings. And then Pam and Hakeem will tweak it until it's just right. I think they may be, I'm not sure what all they're going to do to it. And then we'll be playing it on the podcast. But for now, let's hear He Is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth God thee. That healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty.
God Almighty.
He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
God that healeth thee.
Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
Okay, if you would, turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them to repentance, to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Any one sin that you have, you've got a spirit that's got you captive. There is a spirit for every sin, or there may be a spirit that's got you bound with numerous sins. But for you to come out from these spirits, this says you have to be brought to repentance from these sins. Okay? And, you know, you say, well, I don't have any evil spirits to have a hold of me. Well, Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says these spirits led us around. We were all at one time dead in sins and trespasses. And these spirits led us around according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there. All right? Did you know that? Did you know when you were walking around all these years of your life that evil spirits were leading you around? No, you didn't. You didn't know it then, and you don't know it now. Now, as you walk with the Lord, you're overcoming sins, and these spirits are losing their hold on you. And the devil may only have a small hold on you, because you may only have a few sins to overcome. But to whatever sins you still got to overcome, you've got spirits to overcome. All right? That's just the way it is. And if you don't believe it, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, what I just read you. Now, here's another key to overcoming. As you're brought to repentance, then your faith will work better and better. And then you, as you mix faith with the gospel, or mix faith with that your old man was crucified on the cross of Christ, the old man will be passing away. All right? Turn to Galatians 3:23, English Standard Version. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law. Held captive, imprisoned under the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. See, it not only binds us up, but it also is a guardian to bring us to Christ. All right? Now, let me just put this before you to consider. If God used guilt to bring us to repentance, he would have kept us under the law of Moses. Okay? 2 Corinthians 7:8. For though I made you sorry with leather, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceived that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you are made sorry after a godly matter, that ye might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now there's ministers out there, some are leading people to repentance with the godly sorrow, some are trying to leave you repentance with the sorrow of the world. And the sorrow of the world worketh death. See? So, godly sorrow worketh repentance, salvation. And, you know, we've already been given salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ. And through repentance, you're able to receive that salvation. Okay? You see that? Now, when you receive the Lord and walk with him, you may only be brought to repentance in some things and only be changed a little. But if you don't turn away from the Lord, you'll go be with the Lord, okay? You'll go be with him forever. You receive the Lord, you have eternal life. And you'll keep it if you'll just stay with the Lord, walk with him. If you turn back, decide to go back into willful sin, do what you want, no, you're going to eventually be cut off from God. Don't be a fool. You know, there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Those who do the will of God abide forever. All right? Now, let me say this. Ministers that minister godly, ministers that minister a worldly soul, trying to get people to repent, work deaf in those they speak to. I'm not saying I fully understand this. In fact, I know I don't. But I know the law of Moses is an administration of death. And that's what I believe the worldly sorrow is. 2 Corinthians 3, 7. Let's read that. But if the administration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious. That's the law of Moses. You know, it was the Ten Commandments were written and engraven in stones by the finger of God. So, but if the administration of death, did you hear that? Administration of death, the law of Moses, written and engraved in stones was glorious. And he said it was glorious. So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. So the minister, you know, minister stands up behind the pulpit on Sunday morning, tells everybody, we're going to go over the Ten Commandments again today. I just feel led to minister some more death to you. They don't say that because they don't know what they're doing. But look at 1 Timothy 1:7, International Standard Version. They want to be teachers of the law, yet they do not understand either what they're talking about or the things by which they, or the things about which they speak so confidently. That's a little embarrassing. And it says in verse 9, the law ministers condemnation. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 3:9, International Standard Version. For if the ministration of condemnation has glory, then the ministration of justification has overwhelming glory. See, it's still talking about the law of Moses. It's a ministry, ministry of condemnation. Condemnation. God, having trouble pronouncing things today. The law of Moses is a ministry of death and condemnation. That's what I just read. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, salvation not to be repented, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. Folks, we want this. You want this. You want to sorrow after a godly sort. Why? It delivers you. You get set free. All right? What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Oh, this is wonderful to have this worked out in your life. This is life, folks. This is wonderful. When you get a godly sorrow, when you're ministered a godly sorrow, and you begin to see this repentance work salvation in you, and you start getting set free, you start having your heart made upright, it's glorious. Turn to James 1:22, and I want to look at repentance. I want you to see repentance in a light you've probably never seen it in. Christian Standard Bible. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, did I say that's Christian Standard Bible? He is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. King James says what manner of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Okay? Law of liberty sets you free. Let's read verse 25, the contemporary English version. But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey and don't just hear and forget. Okay, so as you be a doer of the word of God, you are looking into the mirror of God's word. And as you continue in the word, you'll see what kind of person you are. And you will see your own sins and faults. And as you keep looking into the mirror, this is, and to me, this become more and more obvious. Looking in this mirror is one of the ways God leads us to repentance. Because as you continue looking at the perfect law of liberty, then you're set free. And we know you're set free when you're brought to repentance. Now, let me show you what else you see as you continue to be a doer of the word and therefore continue to look into the mirror of God's word. 2 Corinthians 3:16, Christian Standard Bible. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is that spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking into a mirror. Oh, there's that mirror again. The glory of the Lord. And are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is that spirit. Okay, so one minute you see yourself in the mirror, and the next minute you see the Lord in the mirror. Same mirror. Now, look what Jesus said to Peter. Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now, this Greek word for converted, when it says that when thou art converted, Peter, is the same Greek word for turn, when it says turn to the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:16. So as you obey the word of God, you see yourself in the mirror of God's word, and you'll be in the process of being converted, turned to the Lord. So as you look in the mirror, you'll see all your faults and your sins at the same time, not all at once. God's in control of this, and he'll open your eyes, and you'll see it when you're able, you're ready, your heart is prepared to see it. If you saw all the iniquity of your heart at once, it might bring you down. It would bring you down. It's not pretty, folks. But you'll see your sins and your faults. At the same time, you'll also be seeing the glory of the Lord. And as you see the glory of the Lord, you'll be transformed in the same image of the Lord. So the more you look in the mirror of God's word, you won't like the way you look, but you'll like the way the Lord looks. You won't like the way you act, but you'll like the way the Lord acts. And God will be leading you to repentance and converting you. I'm telling you, folks, get a hold of this. I'm not saying there aren't other ways of God leading you to repentance. God's got more ways than I know about, but I'm telling you, this is definitely one of the ways. You know, we always saw that we need a role model, and Jesus Christ is the best role model. And you'll see him in the Word of God. But you need someone in front of you also. So if you get people, men and women, walking in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, that will convict you, and that will help you see, oh, I like the way they act. I like the way they look. I like the way they conduct themselves. And you see the way you conduct yourself, and you'll go, I want to be like them. Turn to Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. See, as you walk in the Word of God, your eyes will be open. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. Now, people who hear the Word of God but don't obey it just get puffed up with knowledge. All right? Now, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 8:1, International Standard Verse. Now, concerning food offered idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Everyone who reads the Bible has knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but love builds up. See, now, as you obey the Word of God, you'll have your love perfected, and you'll be built up. And let me tell you something. There's nothing worse than some weak Christian who talks about the Word of God but doesn't practice the Word of God himself. They're just puffed up. Puffed up with knowledge. Don't do that to yourself. And you know what? You'll get puffed up with knowledge, and then you'll also be deceived into thinking you're somebody just because you got all this knowledge. Ever met people like that? And it's hard to tell the difference, but I get around them, I start talking to them, I can recognize, oh, you're just puffed up with knowledge. You can't do anything. Okay, Joshua 1:8, Christian Standard Bible. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so you may carefully observe everything written. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. And let me tell you something, I'm not putting you down wherever you're at spiritually. As long as you're practicing it, okay? As long as you'll put forth the effort to believe and obey, all right? You don't have nothing to feel bad about, because you can't change yourself. You can't, like I said earlier, you can't reach down in your heart and take the sin out. You can't produce a divine nature. You can't strengthen yourself. You can't do anything but just yield to God the best you can. Some people grow up faster than others. Some people, and don't get discouraged if you're moving along slow. Hell, I moved along so slow, I thought, oh my God, you don't believe how many times I said, is this working at all? But it was. It was, and it does. Okay, Joshua 1:8, let's read it again. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night. So that, now why are you meditating on it day and night? So that ye might carefully observe everything written. Then will you be prosperous, exceeding whatever you do. See? Proverbs 4:20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them depart out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for their life to those that find them, and health to one's own body. Above all else, guard your heart. Now listen to this. For everything you do flows from it. That's why you guard your own heart. Because if you let bad things get in your heart, you'll end up doing bad things. But if you keep the word of God in your heart, it'll produce the nature of God in you. As you're brought to repentance, faith works towards, is faith is towards God. You'll be getting set free and bearing fruit. And then then you do what everything you do flows from your heart. And it'll be good things you're doing. Okay? So everything you do flows from your heart. You want to get the outward behavior changed? Get your heart changed. Okay, so I want to encourage everyone, put the word of God before your eyes, keep the word of God in your heart, be a doer of the word of God, and it will change your life. Let me check the time here. Oh, this is real good. Perfect. Praise God. Thank God. Father, I pray for all the listeners out there that you strengthen them in their inward man by your spirit with divine ability in the name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of God be ministered to every person out there, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray that the anointing flow and break every yoke of bondage. You know, it says the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Father, I thank you for your Spirit flowing right now, ministering to all the people out there. Destroy these yokes, Father, in Jesus' name. And every person out there that's sick, be healed in Jesus' name. I break the oppression of the devil off every person out there. I break the oppression of the devil loose from Satan in Jesus' name. Loose every person out there in the name of Jesus. Loose every person out there in the name of Jesus. You know, there was a daughter of Abraham, Jesus said, that she was bowed over for 18 years. She was bound by a spirit of infirmity and could no wise straighten up. There are people out there bound with different spirits that make them sick, oppressive. It says all sickness is an oppression of the devil. Loose every person out there, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise God, amen. I praise you, Father. I give you thanks. I give you thanks for all your people, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Spirit. I thank you, Father. I thank you, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Every person that's discouraged, be encouraged. Every person that has a broken heart, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Every person that's brokenhearted, be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for opening the eyes of the blind. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for opening their eyes this day. I thank you that the word of God is a lamp under their feet and a light on their path. And it's the entrance of your word that give of light. As your word gets in their heart, it will illuminate them and then they'll know which way to go. I thank you for them, Father. I praise you and give you thanks. All right. I think my 501c3 is almost complete. I looked on there on my, I didn't find this on the IRS website, but I did see where it says my ministry is in existence. And I'm not sure, but it sounds like it's all done. But I'm gonna call LegalZoom Monday and see if I understand that correctly, and see if it all is complete. And then I'm gonna continue to minister either way. But anyway, everything's good. I want to encourage every person out there: don't ever give up. If you have a hard day, you know, Sun's going to shine the next day. Just push through your bad days. You know, there's times when the devil's attacking where it's called an evil day. And you just have to do all you can to stand and make it through that evil day. And there's some times where you're being corrected. You're grievous. There's some times where the devil will beat you down and you're guilty and everything seems bad. Like there's no way I can walk in this. But you just hang in there, and the next day or the day after that, everything's bright and cheery again. Put your trust in God. Trust Him. He'll bring you through every trial. Every trial you go through, God is faithful. He'll bring you through it. Whatever you're going through, God will get you through it. All right? Now, if there's any person out there that has never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never had God start a work of regeneration in your heart, say this prayer to me. Because it's written, there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So say this prayer to me. Lord Jesus, I just receive you. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised from the dead. So I receive you as my Lord. I thank you right now. If you said that prayer and you meant it, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. You know, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, then you belong to God. And if you'll just stay with the Lord, He'll stay with you. If you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. I used to hear about having a relationship with God, and I thought, it kind of made me angry. I said, well, I don't got no relationship with God. I don't even know where God is. But as I begin to draw nigh to God, He draw nigh to me. As I begin to be converted and changed, I begin to see more and more how the Lord was with me. And I said, oh my God, we are having a relationship. It's getting better and better. Okay, that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.